Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Church, what we're going to do is we're going to have our regular service, and we're going to cut it a little short. And thank you, guys. And then we're going to take a five-minute break, and then we're going to celebrate Miss Pauline with her family. And then we're going to allow them to partake of some food in the back, and then we're going to join in there and eat with them, okay? So the whole thing together will be a little longer, but you don't have to go to lunch. You'll be able to eat here. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that's what we're going to do today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let me know when we're out online. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Let's go over to Proverbs 3:9. Proverbs 3:9. Thank you, Lord. Are we out there yet? Praise the Lord. Y'all like the shiny floors? Yeah. Pretty, aren't they? Thank God. All right. Well, Proverbs 3:9. I'm waiting on the camera people, the Facebook people. Oh, we're on. Okay. Welcome, internet audience. We're glad that you're with us today. We pray that you'll just participate with us through the service, and you be blessed in Jesus' name. Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. So it honors the Lord when, obviously, when you give him your first fruits, not our leftovers. You know, Abel gave his first fruits. Cain, it said in the process of time, in the passage of time. So Cain gave leftovers. The honorable thing to do is to think of God first. Amen. You think of him first. Now, obviously, you would love for him to think of you first. And he does. And he did. And what he does is, whatever you honor him in, he honors you in. And so he's pretty much a checker player. He loves you. He wants to always honor you. But at the same time, we're not puppets. So we're called to participate because we have a free will. Right. And so if we're going to participate, then we would do that by honoring God. Nobody on the face of the earth has the power and authority to give us to God but ourselves. You're the only one that can give yourself to God. You're the only one that can submit to God. You. Nobody can make you. Your husband can't make you. Your friend can't make you. You have to give yourself to God. Amen. And so, you know, what an honor it is when he does accept us. And he has. And then he returns and bestows all these wonderful things on us. So when we were saved, we gave ourselves to him, right? Which was all that we had. It wasn't much, but it's all that we had. And compared to him, it wasn't much. But what more important thing that could you do than to just give yourself to God? And so what we find out is that when you give your time, and people that serve here understand that, you give your time to God, that's honoring God. And then, you know, how many of you know that it takes time to go to work every day? Yeah. It takes time to earn finances. Well, so when you give your finances, you're giving your time and you're giving yourself. So you're honoring God by giving him yourself. And so your time every day actually turns into money. Praise the Lord. And so you give him your finances, you give him your time, you give him you, and you're honoring God. Now, you know, I don't think God said, do unto others as, do y'all know it? Let's try it again. I'll try it over here. Do unto others. Praise the Lord. I don't think he said do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It is that's actually written in the Bible, in case you don't know. He's not saying that because he wants to boss us around. Yeah. He knows that if we practice the golden rule, that eventually we're going to be surrounded by people who will treat us like we treat other people. Yeah. Oh, there'll be a few stinkers. But basically, he's going to, as you build honor and as you treat people well, eventually some people are going to come along that are going to treat you well. Exactly. See, that's what the Bible teaches, seed time and harvest. Everything is seed time and harvest. Right. If you go around jumping around and judging everybody all the time, then you're going to be judged. But if you go around and start making, that's just the way it is. If you start going around serving, you're going to get served. Wow. Amen. Praise the Lord. Things are going to get good. So when you and I act in honor, even if we swear to our own hurt sometimes, we bring the Heavenly Father on the scene. It made me think about something I just heard or read. I'm reading a book by this professor that actually teaches it. KCBC, and he's been around a long time, and as he wrote In Search of Timothy, he's taught me many good things. But he said there was a preacher guy who just came to town, not creature, preacher. A preacher came to town, and it was going to be his first time, and everybody knew that he had come to town. And so he gets on the bus, and when he gets on the bus, he pays his whatever it costs to get on the bus, and the bus driver gives him back a quarter too much. And so he goes and he sits down and he has this thought. He says, hey, he gave me back too much money. And so he's sitting there and they're driving, you know, going wherever they're going to go. And he says, it's just a quarter. What does that mean? It's nothing. It's just a quarter. He says, I probably ought to give it back, but it probably doesn't matter. It's just a quarter. So when he stops at the stop and he gets there and starts to walk off, right before he walks off, he takes the quarter and gives it back to the bus driver and says, you gave me a quarter too much. And the guy says, wait a minute, come back here. He says, you're so-and-so, right? And he said, yeah. He said, you're the new preacher in town, aren't you?
Wow.
Yeah. And he says, yes, I am. He said, well, I was looking for a church to go to. I gave you that quarter on purpose.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. People are watching you, not just me. People are watching you. Amen. And so honor is a big thing. And when people see that you're honorable, when they, you know, let me tell you something. If you'll keep your character, God will keep your reputation.
Amen.
There may be all sorts of lies out there spinning around about us, but eventually people will know the truth about you. They'll know the truth about me. No weapon formed against me or you is going to prosper. So honor is a powerful force when it's an act of our will. David never gave God something that didn't cost him something. It cost him something to serve God. He was willing to put God first. So, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for every giver today, everyone giving in the offering, everyone tithing today. We thank you that you will honor us back with increase, because that's what you do, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Come on, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Praise the Lord. If you'd like to give via text message, you can give. Text VCHL and the amount you want to give is 73256 and click the link and it'll tell you what to do. That's the easiest way to do it. However, we will take a check. Please do not write in tongues. We want to be able to read what you're saying on your check, or you can use that envelope for cash. Praise the Lord, and we will receive it, and it will be blessed. So I have some good news about our church planting. Africa, Ethiopia. We're going to help five churches that were damaged in the civil war of 2022. We're going to help them recover. We're going to go over there and build. So that puts us in the Congo, Ethiopia, Guatemala, El Salvador, Dominican Republic, Costa Rica, and Colombia. Wow. How about that? That's what you're doing.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. We're just so grateful to partner with Living Word. Glory to God. All right. Let's open our Bibles now to 2 Corinthians 13:5. If there's a seatbelt there, you might want to put it on.
Sorry.
Praise the Lord. No fear. I'm not coming out there to get you. Praise God. God is good. 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13:5. All right. Examine yourselves whether ye be in faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ in you, except ye be reprobates. Now, so this is saying, check yourself out. Are you in faith about situations? Are you in faith? Oh, I forgot to tell you another report. We'll be very shortly have a Spanish-speaking interpretation in the church. We're actually have it going. Those of you that speak Spanish, so I need someone to come up here and interpret what I'm saying to the Spanish-speaking people right now. Can you? Okay, come here. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Because I want the people out online, because we have people from Guatemala that listen. Okay, so if they're on there. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's practice. Let's see if we can do this again. Praise the Lord.
Aleluya. Glorificamos a Dios. Gracias a Dios.
We're about to offer the people who speak Spanish.
Estamos a punto de ofrecerle a todas las personas que hablan español.
Spanish translation in church.
Translación en español.
Sí. Muy bien, chica. Amen. So, probably, you think we're, Danny, you think we'll be up in a week or so?
I would say 2 weeks is good.
2 weeks. So we'll be up in probably about 2 weeks.
Probablemente en dos semanas más estaremos listos.
There's going to be a QR code on the screen, I think. And you just take your phone and take a picture. And it'll come up in Spanish on your phone. Basically. But we'll teach you how to do it. Amen? Amen. Gracias, señora. La iglesia sigue caminando. Praise the Lord. I get that right, Loopy? Okay. Now, yeah, we're excited about it. It's going to be great. We can actually translate in all sorts of languages.
Yeah.
So whoever we need to reach out there, we're going to be able to do that. It's exciting. Okay, now, so check yourself out. Are you in faith about situations? If Christ isn't living in you, you've failed. And so that's what that scripture's saying. So I like the question. This is the part I wanted to go. Are you in faith? You can have faith, but are you in faith?
Yeah.
Okay? You have a car. Are you in the car? You have a house. Or are you in the house? Right? You get where I'm going with this. Just because you have faith doesn't mean that you're in faith or that you would be in faith about a certain situation. And so you need to make sure that you're in faith. And we're not trying to accuse you of anything here. Don't start feeling like that. This is a point where you would just check yourself out to see what's going on. The Amplified says it well. It says, examine and test and evaluate your own selves to see whether you're holding to your faith and showing the proper fruits of it. Test and prove yourselves. So once again, check yourselves out. Are you in faith? Just like a farmer is going to go out and inspect his crop, right? He's not going to throw seed out there and then never go back out there. He's going to go out there and see what he's doing. So we should inspect all arenas of our life and check out and see what's going on. So when you've been believing for something and you've been believing for it for a long, long time and it hasn't happened, I'm going to tell you, you probably need to check your faith out because there could actually be a problem there. You may not be in faith. You may be believing God with your mind. And this is why you're not getting results. When endeavoring to believe God with your mind, it'll fail every time. You have to believe God with your heart. not your pump, your spirit. You have to believe God with your spirit. Faith is of the heart. It's not of the mind. If you start getting into the heart, the mind, you're going to slip into reasoning. You're going to start reasoning and figuring. But if it's of the heart, you'll know it. You're just like, I know. I know. And the way that you believe in your heart is that you constantly feed the promises of God into your heart. See, that's why we're always telling you to confess the word, read the word, because that's the faith food. That's what keeps your heart believing. You can get into mental ascent really easy if you haven't eaten any word. Everybody in here can quote, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." But you may be wanting. Why? Because it hasn't, it's still here. It hasn't dropped to here. It's a heart matter. It's the same way you got saved. You didn't get saved because you think you believe in Jesus. You got saved because you accepted him where? We would say in Sunday school, into your heart. It's a heart matter. You believe with your heart and you confess with your mouth. Amen. So, when you take a road trip, you're going to frequently check the GPS or the map and make sure you're going the right way. So that's what we do in life. Right. Okay, this has been on the table for a while. This hasn't changed for a while. Let me check it out. Where am I in my faith walk? The Lord says that it's impossible. The Bible says it's impossible to please God without faith. So we need that faith. Amen. So, basically, I'm telling you, whether you want to hear it or not, I'm telling you that if there's failure in your life, it's a faith failure. And you can fix that. That's the good news. You can fix it. Amen. You can start believing God with your heart. Now, no matter what seems to be going on, too much, too little, whatever, it's a faith situation. It's about you trusting God. Today, that was my introduction, because today I'm going to start a series called Faith for Relationships. And we're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about six or more types of relationships, not today, but I'm just going to introduce this to you a little bit. And we'll examine those kinds of relationships. We'll probably mostly use the relationships that the Apostle Paul had, because he dealt with so many levels of people, and we'll see how he responded to his relationships. And then, of course, you can always use Jesus. He's a great example. Amen. And there are others. So we're going to examine those. So anybody remember The Sound of Music?
Oh, yeah.
When you were a little kid, some of you before you were born, I know. She sang, "Let's start at the very beginning." A very good place to start. You remember that? You started with ABCs. The first thing you're going to start with in faith for relationships is, guess what? You. You. So try to look straight ahead and not wiggle around too much and get uncomfortable, because we're going to talk about you probably for the first three times we teach. And then from there, we'll talk about your actions toward people a little bit more. Are you going to be okay with that?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So we're going to start it out. And I'm going to start out tough. Can you take it?
Yeah.
We'll start out tough. You just look straight ahead and listen. Don't be thinking, yeah, that's so-and-so.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, think about you. There are two types of individuals in the world and two types of individuals in this room. There are seasoned individuals and there are poisoned individuals. Seasoned individuals trust. Poisoned individuals are paranoid. Seasoned individuals are open-hearted. Poisoned individuals are closed off. Seasoned individuals release hurts. Poisoned individuals accumulate hurts. Seasoned individuals have scars. Poisoned individuals carry wounds. Seasoned individuals are thankful. Poison individuals are resentful. Seasoned individuals heal others. Poison individuals poison others. Seasoned individuals are proactive. Poisoned individuals are reactive. or they're responsive, we might say. Seasoned individuals are resilient. They roll with the punches. Poisoned individuals are fragile. No bounce. You can't do it. They're just going to go off. They just can't do it. So if you feel like you might have some poison areas, take it. Let Holy Ghost help you. Amen. You can always turn that around. I have a friend, Sandra McShannon. We were pastors together at Victory Christian Center of Austin years ago. And so we dealt with a lot of people. It was a big church. We dealt with a lot of people. And so there was always a lot going on, people coming to us. And I was actually a children's pastor, and Pastor Deb was too. But we didn't just teach the kids. We had to pastor the children's parents.
Yeah.
Also, in life, we've had a daycare. We started a daycare down at another church we worked for years and years ago. We found out that the kids were easy. It were the parents that were the difficult ones, right? Right? Okay. But here's the thing. This is what Sandra taught me, and it was good. She said, hurt people, hurt people.
Yeah.
Hurt people, hurt people. And so those wounds need to be healed. You need to allow Jesus to heal the wounds. Yeah. And you know, I just can hear someone, well, I just don't think I can get over it. Well, see, that's you. You're blocking the truth out of, yes, you can. Yeah. Did you know that there are people that are 50 years old who were abused when they were 5 and they're still letting that person rule their lives? Yeah. Think about that. The way your mama treated you, the way so-and-so, I'm not just talking about sexual abuse. I'm talking about any kind of abuse. You got to let that stuff go. You got to get over that. And so I'm already headed down the trail here. We'll try to work on that. So life is choice driven. So now you're going to have to make the choice. God said, I'm going to put before you life or death. Death not meaning that you're going to die and be gone, but death cycle, the curse. Okay. You're going to have to choose whether you're going to live with life, have some life, God kind of life, the good kind of life, or whether you're just going to be miserable all the time and hate everybody and be a stinker and hurt people. You have to make that choice. So, but you don't know what I've been through. There's about 100 people sitting here right now that have been through just as much as you have.
Yeah.
Yes, they have. The Bible says that. So you're not in this alone. It's not just you. But I'm hurting really bad. I'm no. Well, this is where we're going to deal with it. Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord. Rebellion comes from being hurt. Rebellion comes from being offended, or you could possibly want to control everything. One of those two things. Most of the time when I'm preaching, I can see all your faces, and I can usually tell in the room without paying a lot of attention who's rebelling against what I'm saying. Now, I don't care because I'm telling you the truth. But I can usually tell when there's someone in the room going, ain't listening to that woman preacher. I can usually tell. But woman or no woman, what I'm saying could help you and could make your relationship so much better if you'll just let me tell you a few things.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So, relax. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right. Now, we're going to go deeper into some of that, but let's just do a little today so that y'all will be okay. Let's go here because we're already headed down this trail. Everybody within the sound of my voice out there in here has been rejected. Every person.
True.
Every person. You were rejected even if you had the sweetest mama like Jesse Wallace.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, thank you. You can buy my lunch this week. Okay. But no matter who you are, you've been rejected. Mostly, probably by your parents, a teacher, bullies, friends. Somebody has rejected you in life.
Yeah.
There's two kinds of rejection. One of them is overt rejection. That's get out of here. I've had enough of you. You don't know what you're doing. You need to fix that hair. Your clothes look awful. Blah, 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 blah. I know you will never amount to a hill of beans. Right. You'll be nothing but a ditch digger. Those kind of comments to the children. I know kids that their teacher told them, you'll never be anything. I can't believe teachers would do that. But they do. You're not going to be that. And then some of them would turn around and be great at that. I love those stories. So that's what we call overt rejection.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens from the womb when someone didn't want to have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And then things happen like if there's trouble in the family, you could feel rejected. It's not because mom or daddy meant to, but maybe they were sick all your life or they, you know, something was wrong, something like that. There's that rejection. Then there's rejection called covert rejection. This is what we call the helicopter mom.
Yeah.
This is what we would call the overprotection. Not going to let baby do anything. Going to keep them protected. They can't do, let me do that for you. You can't do that right. I'm going to do, you know, you just keep little Foxy in a cage all the time. You just keep that baby all the way totally protected and you never let them experience anything. That's called covert rejection, overprotection. Both are wrong. Both are not good, and so everybody in here has experienced one way or the other. Either you were covertly rejected and nobody could tell your kid anything, don't you correct my child, or, you know, those kind of things, and, you know, or it was straighten up your dad, I told your dad you'd never be, you know, just one or the other. Or you're like, oh, hurry up, Pastor. I'm going back to memories now. Or I'll tell you, what about if somebody died? If a parent died early? That's a way you could be rejected. They left you too soon. Amen. And so you felt abandoned. When I was 5 years old, they came and told me my mother was never coming home again. I felt abandoned. Now, she did come home. Thank you, Jesus. But they told me that, and I can remember the very night they told me that. And it obviously, all these years later, you can tell that I can still remember that. But you know what? I had a father who helped me get over all of that. In fact, my dad helped me that very night. And but then this Father God, will help you get things in right perspective, and you can begin to feel what we call in the scriptures accepted in the beloved.
Amen.
Because you are accepted.
Sure.
And so we're going to run that course here for just in the last few minutes. Praise the Lord. Now, the plan is going to be now to come out of rejection. We called it, I actually went to school for this a long time ago. It's called the rejection syndrome. People get in a rejection syndrome and they'll do certain things. They'll stay in, you'll see them repeat certain things. And so, they're wearing rejection. We would say this, rejection begets rejection. Familiar spirits, things will line up just to make you feel like, I told you they hate me, you know, that kind of stuff. Things will build up like that. That's just an example, but we'll get a little closer in on this. So now these rejections are played out in life. Okay. They're played out in life. And so one of the biggest way people play it out is called performance-based. Performance-based love. And so you think you can earn love. And so you're going to perform to earn love. But that's not how you earn God's love. You don't earn God's love. He gave it to you freely. You don't have to earn His love. People taught you to earn love. And people, maybe probably not your mother, most of you, but maybe your grandma said, now grandma will love you if you'll behave. Well, grandma should have loved you anyway, and she shouldn't have said that. But there's this whole world system that kind of teaches you these things of, gee, if I just do good, somebody will love me.
Yeah.
Well, that, you know, may be true with some people, but we need to get to the bottom of this. The most important relationship in your life is if God loves you. And God does love you. And it has nothing to do with your behavior. Amen. He loves you, period. You can't earn that love. That's the unseasoned who are telling you that. Praise the Lord. No love in their hearts about these things. So if you experience rejection syndrome, you tend to sabotage your relationships. Yeah. Now, you may not have done this, or you may, but you probably in your lifetime have known someone that does this. They're going to reject you before you reject them. Yeah. Or maybe it's you. You'll reject someone before they have the opportunity to reject you. Or you'll play out a scenario in your life to where you will finally get them to reject you. Have y'all experienced some of that in a lifetime? You know, they'll just go until finally they've set up this thing where people will push them out.
Yeah.
And why are they pushing them out? Church, listen, rejection begets rejection. They're wearing it.
Yeah.
They're wearing it. They're saying, you don't love me, you're not going to let me in, so I'm going to keep a wall. That's what they're saying. I'm going to keep a wall, or I'm going to do something to make it worse so we can make sure I can get away from you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, so the other thing would be the person who constantly apologizes because everything is their fault. That's another way that people express rejection. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize. I apologize. I apologize. That is you acting out the rejection, the system there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Everything's their fault and people will go with it. If you have a manipulator and one of these in the house, it gets serious. Because that person's going to control that other person with,
yeah.
It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Praise the Lord. Y'all get it. Yeah. And then there's this, perfectionism. Have you heard of that? There are people who think everything has to be perfect. That comes from the rejection syndrome. Everything doesn't have to be perfect. Yeah, you want to do things right. You want to do things good. I love it when things are in order, you know, clean house, all that stuff. But then you get in this thing of just let me do it. I can do it better myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Amen. Everybody keep looking straight ahead. Praise the Lord. That's probably a big one. But, you know, we can go further with this. But just for right now, let's go here with the good news. You can come out of rejection.
That's right.
You can come out of it. And so, and let me tell you this, you don't need pop psychology to do it. You do not. You don't need to rehearse how you feel over and over and over with someone on the other side of the desk.
That's really good. That's so good.
There are a lot of Christian people would hate what I'm saying right now. And I don't care. I'm telling you the truth. Yep. I'm not saying some people don't need some type of therapy, but they better get the right kind of therapy.
Right.
They better get someone who's leading them forward and not just getting them to confess over and over their troubles. And then that makes the troubles get bigger.
Well, that's good.
You don't need to go around telling everybody your trouble.
No.
Talk to the Lord. Maybe you need to talk to one person, your pastor or your husband or your wife or your friend or someone you can dialogue with who's not going to condemn you. You need that person in your life. But at the same time, you don't want to go, well, I'm going to get therapy. And then they go out there and start examining every little thing in your life and you end up way over in another ditch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what most people told me? So I've been doing this 23 years right here. And a whole lot longer other places. But most people have told me, you know, I thought I was going to have to make an appointment with you. But after hearing the preaching, I got my answer. Because the word of God will correct you. If you want it, you can sit in front of a therapist from now until Jesus comes. But it's not going to help you unless you're willing to face God and face the change. And if you don't want to, fine. Don't get any better. But you'll notice relationships moving out. Yes. You're just going to. Yes. Amen. All right. And some of them you actually do want to move out, but we'll talk about that another day. All right. Now, so, some of the techniques could be helpful, but they treat the symptom. And most of you know what I mean by that. You can't just treat symptoms. You have to find the cause of situations. That goes with medicine as well. You need to find the cause and deal with it. So at the core of emotion, psychological soul rejection, it's a spiritual issue. And it's going to be this. This is as simple as it is, church. You need to find out how much God loves you. Once you start finding out how much God loves you and who you really are, half of the Christian world doesn't even know who they are. They think they're just somebody out there banging around and in fate and they can't get a control in life because, you know, God's in control. You might want to read the Bible on that. The Bible says that God gave man authority. And the way to get God involved is to ask him, to seek, knock, ask, to confess. You have to get in a relationship with him and get him involved. If you don't get him involved, he's a gentleman, he won't get involved. He's a good God. He's not killing people. He's not destroying things. He's not stealing from you. He wants abundant life, but you have to get involved with him. It's not que sera, sera, or well, that's just how it's going to be, you know, that's all we can do. No, God wants to change your life. Let him in and let him fix you first. And after he fixes you, you're going to find out that he can begin to work on people around you. But if he didn't fix the person around you, if they were obstinate and they wouldn't do it, God has a way to see you through every situation.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
It's pretty good, huh? God has the answer. Now, here's my statement for you. If you don't get anything else, I want you to get this today. You are loved apart from however anyone has ever treated you.
Praise God.
Separate all the whoever's been mean to you. Whoever beat you, hit you, whipped you, talked down to you, stole your money, did whatever they did, insulted you, dishonored you, whatever it is, separate that out from the fact that God loves you.
Amen.
Because once you do that, you're going to find out that you have a covenant partner, that God is on your side, and that he'll stand with you. And if you mess with me, he'll say, if you want some of that girl, you better talk to me.
Yeah.
Because that's how I live.
Yeah.
I'm a kept woman by God Almighty.
Right.
Praise the Lord. And you're a kept child. Now go over to Romans 8 and we'll go down the trail here. I want to show you something. Now put on your revelation hat because you're going to have to catch this. This is not basic. I'm going to give those of you who want something a little bit of meat here that'll help you get out of this earning thing and out of this thinking that it's all, listen, you're a human being, not a human doing. Okay. You'll do after you learn how to be. Okay. Don't switch that around. Now you have Father's nature. You're not trying to get your victory. You have it, but you have to learn how to make that connection. Religious people are always after their victory.
Yeah.
We have it. Now, when you go into Romans 8, the Apostle Paul has spent a lot of time in Romans 7 kind of talking about this hopeless stuff, talking about his flesh. Talking about the flesh. But then he comes along and he begins to talk about some good stuff. So listen to what he said and you can read it with me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, the King James, that's the King James Version. In the original text, that last part is not there. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, it's just this. Therefore, now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's all that's there. But the translators felt like they could add it because of what it says further down here. Now, listen to this. Verse 2. For the law of the spirit of life. Now, there's two laws working in the world. Okay? Not legalism. Two laws. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of sin and death. Okay? Now, so... For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, you can't keep the law.
Yeah.
Stop trying to.
Yeah.
You can't keep it. Okay. Now, that doesn't mean you want to do what's right. You want to do what's right, but just follow me through here and don't go out saying, she said you don't have to be good. I didn't say that. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. So Jesus took care of it. It's done. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Got that? It's fulfilled in us. Who do not walk according to the flesh, according to the spirit. Now, right there, someone says, yeah, see, if we walk according to the spirit, don't walk after the flesh. Now, can you get your ears open right here?
Yes.
This is really telling you who you are, not what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You are the child of God who walks after the spirit.
No.
That's who you are. That's what this is really trying to tell you. Read the rest of the chapter.
Yeah.
Those that follow, he talks about those that are led of the Spirit are the sons of God. You are the sons of God, okay? Point being, you have to get that first. Get rid of condemnation. Get rid of, you're not perfect. God's not looking for you to be perfect. He's looking for you to grow up and be mature.
Amen.
He's not looking for you to be perfect. The sin has been paid for. All of them. All of them. Jesus paid.
Amen.
Now, what I'm trying to help you with is you're like, well, I don't walk after the Spirit. You may not, but that's who you are.
Oh, that's good.
See, you may not be doing who you are. I am called to the fivefold ministry. The calling has been there from the womb. But if I hadn't answered the call, I would still be who I am. If you were born a rancher, you are a rancher. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's who you are. You have a call on the inside of you. God's calling you by that call. But basically, for all of us, we're all called to be sons and daughters of God. This is who we are. We're called to be the spirit who don't try to fulfill the law, but walk after the spirit, which is way bigger and worth a whole lot more than the law. So what you do is when you start claiming who you are, you'll start acting like who you are, and you'll do what's right. You'll do it right because it's right.
Amen.
Got that?
Got it.
So this is not about greasy grace of, well, you know, I'm already this in God. I'm saved. I'm good. I'll just do what I want to. That's not what I'm trying to tell you. What I'm trying to tell you is that because everything has been paid for, because God loves you, and when you get that realization and stop thinking how bad you are, you'll quit acting bad. You'll quit having what we call sin consciousness. The reason why you act bad is because your mama kept telling you you did. Come on. Now, they needed to correct you. I'm not saying that. But when, let me tell you who's telling you now how bad you are. The devil. He's telling you how bad you are. He goes to the courts of heaven and is called the accuser of the brethren. You bad. You know you bad. You know you ain't supposed to be doing that. If you'll start combating that with, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, you'll begin to wash bad out of the way. Yeah, but I want to be bad. No, you don't. No, you don't. You want to sow good seed, live in a good world, and have heaven on earth. And you can. So the idea behind all of this that I'm talking about, and which I will barely touch on right now, is the fact that self has to move from the center of your life, and Jesus needs to be put in the center of your life.
Yeah.
You need to have a Christ-centered life.
Right.
Because He is love.
Yeah.
He is full of everything good. And when He begins to manifest through you, you begin to change. Now, this is going to take a little work. It'll take us a few weeks. But I'll show you how spirit, soul, and body work together, and how some of the things that have gone on in your life, including sickness and stuff, may be the cause of who's sitting in the center. Okay? Now, if you're sitting in the center, that's one reason why you have rough relationships. Come on. There's some easy stuff you could do that could help relationships. I heard Pastor Butler say this morning, I listen to him every Sunday morning, he was preaching on totally something else, and he said, you know, if you're in a relationship and your wife hates that you don't put the toilet seat down, could you just put the toilet seat down when you're done and go wash your hands? He said, just get rid of some of the stuff that she hates. Just, why is it so hard for you? Just, if that aggravates her, just do it. Wash your glass out. Don't leave the coffee stain in it if it's important to somebody.
Yeah.
Just, right? You know, so I'm ringing the bells now. Clean my stove if you cook on, no, just, right? Yeah. But, you know, so they know about my stove. I'm always over there. But see, now, I mean, but what difference does it make? If that aggravates her, if you're doing something to aggravate him, it might be easy just to start these little things to change it. I mean, what does it hurt just to say, oh, my honey doesn't like this right here, so I'll just move it for him. Well, I ain't his slave. Well, this, you know, we're all called to be each other's servants. All of us. Husbands love wives. Wives submit to husbands. That works two ways. But there's just some easy little things that you could do that could fix those things probably.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you smack your gum and it'd be real easy to stop doing that or something. I don't know. Yeah, just little things like that begin to work. Or just what about, you know, you serve the food and you're like, this is bad. Just, you know, I'm just so blessed that you cook for me. Praise the Lord. And they'll get better at it. Just these little things that can happen. You know, so-and-so doesn't like that, so I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. Boy, you are turning red and everything. Okay, I'll move right on here. God does not condemn you. God does not condemn you, even if you left the toilet seat up. But help your honey. This just went out all over the world. We're talking about toilet seats. Glory to God. Say that in Spanish. I can't wait. Praise the Lord. Comic relief, people. Praise God. That's good. All right. For those of you that are new, if you don't know why people are walking up here putting money on this, let me explain it to you, just so you don't think we're crazy. So we are these people that believe in sowing seeds, and when we hear a word that moves our spirit, we'll sow into it. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. It's people's choice. They're not paying me to say something. Thanks for straightening out my wife. It's not, you might want to know that. We believe in seed time and harvest, and people do that all the time. The people that we hang around with do that all the time. Okay, now, so you're going to find out that you're not going to remain a victim.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, you're a victim if it's all about how everybody's treating you. It's spirit of entitlement. Most of us Texans, yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. We're pretty good at taking that out. But, you know, victim mentality is what makes you suffer. They hate me. They hurt me. They're this and that. See, I'm so, my mother damn me. Blah, blah, blah. All that stuff is useless. It's useless. We become victors. In other words, we love. Now, here's the biggest thing that I could ever tell you that would help you the most. It's none of my business whether you love me. It's my business to love you. Amen. That's the easiest way to boil all this down. Yeah. Whoever that person is, and you're thinking, they don't love me. They're just cutting me out of their life. Well, it isn't any of your business. Well, it is too, because it's my husband. No, it's not. It's your business to love them. God first. Your husband and God need to work it out. And then they'll love you. Amen. You see what I'm saying? It's your business to love people. It's your business to forgive. It's your business to get over it.
Yes, ma'am.
It's your business to be grown up enough to get past personalities. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. You have to. You have to. Ron, we're going to celebrate Pauline today. When Ron first, Pauline came to church, so Bill invited him, I think. And Ron said, I ain't going to listen to no woman preacher. But then he listened and he never left. And it's been 23 years. Because he got past that I was a woman. He read what the scriptures really said about all that stuff instead of using it. And I mean, we worked together for a long time, prison ministry here, and it's been amazing. And, but he stepped over that. He stepped over that. Well, I don't like the songs. You need to step over that. Step over it. Well, I don't like the way you need to get past that. What is God calling you to do in life? Not your selfish preference. What is God? If you answer your call, you're going to be so blessed in your life. Whatever that call is, businessman, whatever it is, if you answer that call, you'll get favor on your life like you never have before. Your prosperity will shoot up. You'll get debt free. All those things will happen to you. How do I know? Because it happened to me. Yeah. But you can't wear your feelings on your sleeves on the way up.
True.
Well, Pastor doesn't like me. She likes Mac the best. See, that's all that is. Might be true, but no. I was kidding. You got to get past that kind of stuff. Or, well, they went to Chick-fil-A and they never asked me to go with them. Well, so what? Ask yourself. Go yourself. Say, can I come? And if they won't sit with you, then tell them you're going to tell Pastor. Now, I'm kidding. Let's close with this. Praise the Lord. See, we're going to walk by the Spirit. We're going to walk by faith. We're going to love people. There's two very important things left here, and then we'll be good. But you'll see where I'm going with this. Luke 17:1. Did you get anything at all? Everybody, you got something out of it? Okay, good. Then he said to the disciples, Luke 17:1, it's impossible that no offenses should come. Did y'all get that? Somebody's going to offend you. Somebody. Somebody will. Some smart aleck, somebody might hurt you. Somebody might rebel against you. It could get rough. But woe to him through whom they come. He's saying it's the problem of the one who did it to you. Let me handle it, he's going to say in other scriptures. Now, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones. He's talking about us. Now, take heed to yourselves. Now, this is big. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, I repent, you'll forgive him. And the apostle said, increase our faith. Are you in faith for relationships? See, that's where we're going with this. We're going to increase our faith for relationships. And they obviously knew this was going to be difficult. So they want their faith increased. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to have faith in God for our relationships. And you'll build relationships that you can have faith in the other person. Amen. Now I want to say one more thing to you and we'll close. It'll probably be three or four things, but you're used to it. There's forgiveness and there's trust. And they're two different things. You can forgive someone seven times a day. That doesn't mean you have to go back and trust them again. Are you listening to me? Trust is earned. The Bible's very clear about that. If someone stole from you, you don't have to hand them your wallet the next day. You see what I'm saying? You bite me once, it's your fault. You bite me twice, it's mine. So whereas, but now listen to me. You can not trust someone and still be nice to them, love them, be sweet to them. Just don't cast your pearls out there. Just learn, and this is what we're going to talk about in the weeks to come, learn what circle to put them in your life. Obviously, if someone's thieving from you, you don't want them in your house. Right? So that's an illustration. But you will learn what to do with situations. Because a lot of Christian people get, well, I have to forgive them, so, you know, I'm just going to, oh, we'll go ahead and let them work for us, even though they took the credit card and ran up the bill and stole the money and broke the machine and da-da-da-da. No, no. Let them earn the trust. In your business, in your life, if you have a friend who's just stabbing you in the back, or someone who's just snubbing you, or who's doing whatever, in here, watch yourself step back, but out here, love and be, not faking it, true love, but just watch yourself with how much you will, can I say it like this, delegate to them what you would do with them. Amen. It'll help you, it'll help your children, it'll help everyone around you. So there's the forgiveness, but then there's a trust factor. Mm-hmm. Amen. Y'all receive this?
Yes.
Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the answers. We thank you that we can build quality relationships.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, that we can trust. We can build trust. Yes, I'm going to go there. So, you know, you've seen people in fivefold ministry fall.
Yeah. Yeah.
What I've seen, I've been doing this a long time, what I've seen is there have been people who have come to people they're accountable to and say, I need to not do this right now because I've gotten off of my flesh, I've messed up, and it would not be good for my congregation or for the people I'm teaching. So I'm gonna step back, correct me. Give me a period of time, and then they, if they're correct, take the correction and do everything their elders or who, not church elders, their authority in God is, their apostle or whoever, they should be able to step back in.
That's right. Amen.
Don't write everybody off because they make a mistake and they'll never be able to get back in. Throw water out on that bridge as far as you can. Don't add another fire to it. But at the same time, can I just say it to you like this? Watch your back. Watch your back. Just be mindful of what you're doing. Amen. There are ministers right now who have quit their big churches because of somebody built bigger lies about what happened 20 years ago. And the only thing they felt like they could do is just quit. And it was so sad. So sad because it's all blown out of proportion. lies built around it, and they just, I guess they felt like they couldn't cope. But the person I'm thinking of, way back then, the crime was about 1/8 of what has blown out. Yeah. It's about 1/8 of that, maybe 1/16 of that. They took the correction. They were sat down. They did everything they needed to do before they entered back into the ministry. But this nasty old woke news accusation world tears people up so bad, y'all. There are things going on. Gossip goes on, and it has absolutely nothing to do with what's going on with people. They don't even know those people. And listen, the enemy is out to destroy fivefold in this day, especially those that believe the Bible and stand up for the truth and stand up for the Constitution. It's tough on them. But what are we going to do? We're going to have to stand up.
That's right.
Amen. Y'all receive this today? Yeah. You're going to have to stand up for who you are.
Yeah.
You don't want to be beaten down. Learn to love people, but watch that trust factor. If they, and listen, you don't need to tell everybody, man, they did me wrong. Watch out for them. You know, you don't need to do that. Most of our problem is that thing right under your nose. Get you in trouble all the time. Well, I'm blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of things we just don't need to say. There's just a lot of things we don't need to rehearse. Well, you don't know what they did to me. That's the big one. You don't know what they're doing to me. You don't know what they're doing to me. You don't know what they're doing to me. You don't know how bad it is. You don't know how bad it is. Well, let me help you with this. I know you're helping with that, but, and they're stacking it up. Let's cut it to the bottom line. Crucify your flesh and start walking in love. That would be the bottom line. In other words, everybody here knows what I'm going to say. Get over it. But at the same time, God is merciful and graceful. He will heal that hurt. He'll heal that hurt and get you strong enough to deal with what needs to be dealt with. That person, and when you know how when you see that person out there and Tabasco sauce starts going up your legs and you're like, I remember what you know that view. Y'all know what Tabasco sauce is? Anybody? You always use the condiments to tell the anger stories. The Tabasco sauce comes up your leg and you want to smell of the mustard, right? But you know what? That's just the enemy saying. Right there, the enemy stepped in there. They're so-and-so. They lied about you all over town. Woe unto them, not me. I love them. I forgive them.
That's right.
One more thing. See, I told you it was four things. Taking up offense for others. It gets you in serious trouble. You love people. And sometimes you're like, you better not say anything about Danny Schaefer. You know, that's how my heart feels. Mm-hmm. But I'll have to watch myself that I would not overdo my own soul trying to take up for Danny or trying to take up for Lizzie or any of you. For art, you have to watch yourself that you walk in love. Now that doesn't mean that you can't tell people the truth. Excuse me, you're telling a story. That's hearsay. But you can do it in a way. You can always tell the truth in a way that it'll be all right. You don't have to smell of the mustard. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're glad that you watched today. I hope you learned something. Please stay tuned because we're going to do Faith for Relationships for probably about 6 weeks. And by the time we get done, you're going to love people and people are going to love you. And anyway, this is all you really need to know is God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. I love it. Eddie waves at me. Praise the Lord. Jesse and Eddie wave at me when they're on the camera. Praise the Lord. All right, church, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take about a 10-minute break, and then if you please come back and sit down, we're going to celebrate Miss Pauline. I know there may be a few of you that just visited today and you don't know Miss Pauline. If you're free to leave if you want to, but we really would like for most of you to stay if you could, and then we'll have a short celebration for her and have lunch together, okay? All right, so let's father out of this part. Okay. Shakespeare.